Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. We have a special treat tonight. Obviously, as people are thinking about what's going to happen this weekend, the Arizona Wildcats are coming to town, top 10 ranked team, top 10, top 11. Very powerful and unexpected team in the top 20. And we are looking at talking to somebody who can help us understand what's going on in Arizona, because it looks like something special is happening there this year. We have Bruce Pascoe on. He is working with the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com covering the Wildcats. Bruce, thanks for coming on today. This is Mike Kegley of the Illini Guys, and want to extend you a welcome. And I understand you'll be coming to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I will. And thanks for having me on, Mike.
So give us an idea, because did you have any thought in your mind before the season came that this team was going to come out like this and really kind of take the country by storm?
You know, that's sort of been the question everybody's been asking. And I think the answer's got to be no. I mean, I think that there was this was probably the maximum upside you could see in this team, but I don't think anybody expected it or predicted it. And I think, you know, for a number of reasons, they aren't exceptionally deep. They're still pretty young. Tommy Lloyd's never been a head coach. You know, he had to take over a program facing sanctions and this and that. And there's just so many questions. So you just couldn't expect them to do this well. But that said, they had a really good returning core coming back that was kind of under the radar last season with Sean Miller, because they had self-sanctioned out of the postseason. So nobody was really paying attention, but they actually played pretty well, finished fourth place in the Pac-12. And, and the core of that team came back. They didn't, you know, despite all the transfers, they lost some guys, but they kept all their key guys. And those guys are now the best players. And it just turns out that those players that Miller recruited probably fit even better in Tommy Lloyd's system. So that's kind of just the best case scenario, I guess, in a number of ways, really, the way it's worked out so far.
Wow. So that's what every fan hopes for at the start of the year, you know, when all that hope turns into reality. Man, that's a lot of fun. Who does Illinois have to stop? You know, when you look at this team, there's some talented players on this, but who's the heartbeat? Who's the guy who makes this thing go?
Well, I think offensively, you know, they've been very balanced in that, and they share the ball a lot. They've led the country in assists to as a ratio of made field goals. They do have a number of guys they can turn to. So, but that said, I think Benedict Mathurin, their wing, is probably the biggest threat. He had 29 against Oregon State the other night, and then last night against Wyoming, or Wednesday, yeah, he had another 24. He's very explosive and actually can shoot pretty well too. So he, you know, and he's getting better at, you know, offensive rebounding, creating his shots out of that and adjusting to Tommy Lloyd's system. Whereas before in Sean Miller's system, he was getting a lot of sets run for him. And, you know, this is more of a read and react type of a lot of improvisation going on in this system. And he's gradually picked it up here. And so he's probably the number one guy offensively you want to stop. And then, you know, defensively, they've got, you know, Christian Coloco up front, who's been a really good rim protector for them. And that's allowed the perimeter guys to extend and be super aggressive out there. And they have been. And so it's just, you know, there's a number of things with this team that have been tough to stop.
And this team is a big team. I mean, you know, usually when Illinois comes out there, you got Kofi, and well, he by himself is bigger than everybody else.
Right.
But this is kind of like playing a Purdue team with multiple bigs. Just how deep are they in the paint, this Arizona team?
You know, I didn't think they were exceptionally deep, but the fact is that you know, I wasn't sure what to expect from Coloco. Has been a lot better than anyone expected. He really made a big jump entering his junior year here. And the other key to that is Umar Ballo, who actually is almost as big as Kofi. I think he's about 7 foot 265 or so. And, you know, isn't as proven or skilled, but has come along, and he's been able to spell Coloco. When Colocos had some foul trouble and struggled a little bit at Oregon State the other night. And that's allowed them to keep, if they want to keep that super big presence. They can always, almost always have a 7 footer on the floor if they want. And that said, and the other night they went a little small too. They've got Azulis Tabellis, their four man, who can in a pinch play the five, and they can get even smaller and somewhat mobile in that case as well. So, but yeah, they're just big. And I think that's, you know, that's one thing about them. They were big last year, and they're, you know, they're bigger and better this year, really.
Yeah. And it looks like athletic on the inside as well. So I think this will be one of those nights that Kofi might get his shot blocked a couple times, which is something that he's not really used to, but with this size and the fact that they can be aggressive with, you know, more fouls than just five to offer. I think it could be a good challenge for Kofi on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, Coloco actually got in foul trouble against Wyoming, and he is susceptible to that. I assume that will be something Illinois would want to do. And he could probably block some shots. He blocked Hunter Dickinson, and I think the first 2 minutes in Las Vegas, and I think that was kind of an eye opener, and he ended up outplaying him. And so, you know, there's that, but, so, you know, he's very athletic for his size, and he's got a lot of more confidence this year. He's a really good shot blocker, and just kind of a guy who's had that presence in there. And it'd be really interesting to see how Kofi goes against him. But I, you know, I think that, you know, that could come down to fouls too. Are they going to let him play? Is somebody, you know, one or the other going to get in foul trouble? And, you know, it could be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. That's the fun of up here in Big Ten country. You really don't know what you're going to get when it comes to refereeing on any individual night. One night it's like the WWE and nobody calls anything. And then the next night you get a bunch of quick fouls and the bigs are sitting on the bench, you know, with 14 minutes left in the first half. And you're like, well, we definitely are seeing a different game than we anticipated. We've got a lot of Illini fans on here. And of course the most hated rival in the Big Ten in basketball right now is probably Michigan. They won the conference title in the regular season, despite maybe Illinois playing more games and having more wins. What the heck did Arizona do to throttle Michigan and just run them right off the court?
Yeah, they, you know, that was a surprise to everybody, I think, but they're just, they use their athleticism. They really kept pushing it. They out-rebounded them. I don't have the totals right in front of me, but I think that was a key to that game as well. It was, you know, the strange thing about it is it wasn't even really that close. And
yeah, exactly. That's what we were thinking.
They dictated the tempo and controlled the game pretty much from start to finish. They had a lot more trouble, frankly, with Wichita State two nights earlier than they did with Michigan.
Yes. Now Illinois ran through, in case any of your Arizona listeners are paying attention. Illinois ran into some tough times with Kofi's suspension, which we can all talk about the logical or less logical reasoning of the NCAA. Some people are saying, you know, like I said, he sold a pair of shorts before a week or two before the NIL hit, and then he paid all of it to charity, so he didn't make a penny, but still got hit with a 3-game suspension. Curbelo has run through some issues with a concussion. Trent Frazier ran into some issues with a leg injury, and then they got devastated by the flu. So there was literally a stretch, probably it was literally close to late November, early December, before the whole team actually was at practice together.
Yeah,
because of injuries, sickness, et cetera. Had a very rough game against a Cincinnati team that was clear that they looked like, hey, you know, you guys haven't thought about us and you think you're just going to beat us to go go on to the next round, and they came out and played a motivated game. Yeah. Illinois got an early start against them and then went cold. And boy, oh boy, did Cincinnati just take them to the woodshed. And of course, the game before was at Marquette on the road. And that was the third game of Kofi's suspension. So he wasn't there for that. Oh, and, right. You know, and then you run in, you know, you run into the issues with Curbelo. And like I said, they got a couple losses. We expect the game of the, we really expect this is going to be the game of the non-conference schedule.
Well, that's an interesting point. Cause it does seem like Illinois has not been at full strength. And frankly, Arizona has been at full strength every single game. They have had nothing happen. I think Christian Coloco rolled his ankle and left the Sacramento State game early, and he came right back the next game. They literally, and then they had a reserve forward out against Wyoming for undisclosed reasons. But other than that, they've had no adversity as far as, you know, anything, anybody getting hurt, or a couple guys rolled their ankle here or there, but just nothing. So, and that's another thing, frankly, you know, over time, these things do pop up, and I don't want to jinx anybody either way, but you know, they've been on the lucky side of it. So, you know, and Illinois hasn't. So we'll see. Maybe, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Curbelo were able to come back or whatever. Certainly you've got almost everybody else at this point.
Yeah, we had to find out. Austin Hutcherson has been come, you know, he's a guy who's long on potential, hasn't had a chance to do a lot at Illinois, physically has all the tools, but is, you know, coming off of a fall in practice. You know, sometimes these high flyers, if you land flat on your butt from a high level, I was not used to that, because when I played basketball, you could put a paper underneath me and the bottom of my shoes when I jumped. But, you know, for those guys who are high flyers, he's still recovering from that. But for the most part, we're hoping that it comes down to maybe Curbelo is the only person who may or may not play tomorrow. Yeah. But again, it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen until game time. You know, Coach Underwood talked about before the Notre Dame game, 45 minutes before game time, he didn't know who was starting because he had to see who was there with a combination of flu, injuries, et cetera. You know, it was, and even as the press, we were sitting there going, okay, so Curbelo's in street clothes, so he's
not playing. Oh, yeah.
you know how that goes. It's very scientific.
Yeah, you got to take roll call before every game. That's
yeah,
the way it goes.
Yeah. And so, but in fairness, though, last year, barring the IO broken nose, they had literally almost no injuries. So we had a great year last year in terms of injuries. This year, it's been a little tougher. Obviously, if I'm Coach Underwood, I'd rather even it out a little bit. But, you know, you had great fortune last year, and you're hoping maybe get people in shape by the Big Ten season to see if we can get them going.
And it's not football. I mean, you can lose early. It's not going to hurt you. And the way the NCAA tournament works, sometimes if you have guys out and then they come back and you win, they heavily discount those losses because they explain it, you know, the committee members know if you're not, you know, if you've proven that you, that guy makes you that much better and you have him and you didn't have him for that loss, that they'll discount that loss. So, you know, in that sense, Illinois could still be in shape for a really good seed, no matter what happens from here on out.
Now, did you guys play against Alfonso Plummer last year?
Yeah, I looked at that box up. I was trying to remember. I don't remember. You know, they only played him once last year because they have an unbalanced schedule in the Pac-12, and he didn't have a great game against him. But overall, he did. He was obviously a volume shooter. He led the Pac-12 in three-pointers made, and it wasn't a bad percentage. I think he shot about 39%, and of course, he's well above that now this year. So, you know, they'll know what to expect with him for sure.
Yeah, he was one of those guys who has changed the opinion of Illini fans early on. You know, first couple games he wasn't in a good rhythm, and it was funny because he was drawing comparisons by some of our more cynical fans to Alex Legion, who was a transfer from Kentucky. That, you know, when you look at me and go, "Who's that?" Well, that's why he was compared. You know, he came here and didn't do much.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, now he's on a four-game in a row where he scored 20 points and has literally the surprising thing, and I was going to ask if you saw this last year, is we did not expect him to be able to put the ball on the floor and drive to the basket the way he has. He has been, he has been surprising, because we expect a 3-point shooter, and all of a sudden you're seeing him, you know, pump fake and boom down the lane. And he's actually finishing in the lane with traffic, which total bonus to many of us, and a great surprise.
Yeah, that was the rep when I remember when he came into Utah, it was all about his shooting. I think he was at a junior college or something. And just the numbers he put up there were just ridiculous. And, you know, even translating that to Division One, you figured he would be a shooter. But yeah, I don't remember hearing much about that, you know, as a driver as well. But and he showed a little bit of that last year at Utah. But that was it was kind of a different dynamic on that team. They had, I think they had some chemistry issues and things that happened there. And I don't think his role was ever exactly what it, you know, maybe could have been.
Now, what did you think about the, I'm going to use a new word you may have never heard before, a phrase, the attempted controversy of Coach Lloyd's comments about going to Illinois, where a little smattering of it was taken out of context?
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
Really? Well,
he inherited this game, so I don't know what he said. I know he was saying that he called Kofi Shaq and a couple other things, and how Brad Underwood called him, you know, said he oozes toughness or something like that.
Yeah, well, it was funny. We had a you know, he was kind of talking, and I'm trying to get a full, of course, as soon as I'm looking for a full list of what he said, but basically kind of talked about, you know, how tough it is to play a team at, you know, home, you know, or on the road. And they kind of took some, maybe the middle of the quote and didn't add the ends of it.
Oh,
but it was just interesting to try to see the bulletin board material of the Twitterverse.
Well, he did say something about last night. He said something about there's nothing more special than going into a place that's, you know, rocking or whatever, like sold out house and kicking their butt, basically, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't think he meant that to disrespect Illinois at all. He was just saying, hey, if we could do this, and he did say, I don't know if we can do it, and it's not always going to be pleasant, but if we can, it's there's nothing better, is kind of the way he said it.
Yeah. And I think, of course, like I said, some of the outrage that you see on the internet is people just kind of found the want to go in and kick their butt and just left it at that. So,
well, but who doesn't want to kick somebody's butt? It's a game. I mean, come on.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. We, I mean, as an Illinois fan, we really enjoyed that victory at Michigan last year. You know, that was about as good as it gets. So,
well, and I tell you, there's still Arizona people here who are very bitter about 2005. If you go back that far, and Illinois went in that Elite Eight game when they came back from 14 or 15 points or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, so we love to put that game in the face of other fan bases, but then all they have to do is say UNC, you know?
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, then we get all angry too. So, right. You know,
there's always something like that.
Yes. Yes, there are. We just haven't got to the win the whole thing the way you guys, the way Arizona did back in the past. So as you look at what the team is doing, you know, now, what kind of you've probably seen a little bit of Illinois, you've watched Arizona. I think both teams are playing pretty darn good basketball right now. What type of prediction do you have for this game?
I've been wrong a lot, so I hesitate to say. I mean, like, our columnist asked me what the spread was. I said, I don't know. And then he looked it up and it was 16. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of points. If I were betting on this, I'd probably take Wyoming in the points. And then Wyoming was down by 30 at halftime. So it just shows you what I know, but that said, I mean, you know, they just haven't had a lot of adversity. So it's really hard to tell. And this will be they had a Truro game the other night at Oregon State, but it was like 3,000 fans and Oregon State's just not very good. It wasn't the same. This is going to be nuts. And, you know, they have not been in that situation. Most of these players, Coloco, their junior, he's the only guy on the team who's actually, you know, played before fans before the season. The rest of them are the transfers have some of the older transfers, but the core of the team is sophomores who were freshmen last year playing in front of cardboard. And so they've never been in front of fans, and they've never been on a true road, a really rabid true road environment. So And because of what you're saying before about Illinois is getting everybody back, it sounds like they're in a good rhythm. I know they played really well against Iowa the other night, you know, coupled with the home advantage. I mean, I got to think it goes down to the wire, and, you know, I just think you got to go with Illinois in this situation, you know, but that said, like I said, I've been wrong and Arizona keeps doing everything right. So it's hard to say they won't, but I just think this is a tough one.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be determined probably right at the end. I'm hoping Illinois can pull it out, you know, 2 or 4 point victory. But I will tell you, as just a guy who's coached some basketball, the one thing that scares me about Arizona is that Illinois out-rebounded Iowa phenomenally. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see a gap of
– that's going to be the key, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not – I don't think they're going to do that to Arizona.
Yeah, they're both great rebounding teams. That could be the number one key, yeah.
Yeah, and so that means Illinois can't turn over the ball the way they did against Iowa. So to me, a lot of this game is going to come down to, can Iowa force ball pressure that gets turnovers against Illinois? And then, you know, if they can, then that is going to really put the pressure on the Illini, because they're going to have to out-rebound this team to kind of offset, you know, when you have 18 turnovers and the other team has 4, if you out rebound them by 20 something, then those turnovers don't mean as much, especially when you get 19 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
But if you have 18 turnovers and let's say Arizona has 10 and your rebounding battle is, you know, 40-40, those turnovers all of a sudden become magnified.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I'll be looking at as a fan. And then of course the other part is what you brought on, and you know, we don't think about this because these are just kids, but you know, part of the reason that we played a couple teams versus having the kind of the top secret scrimmages, you know, that you hear about every year, is because Coach Underwood wanted to get the team out in front of fans, because so many of these kids played their whole freshman year, you know, in front of cardboard, like you said.
Yeah.
And then all the freshmen coming in hadn't been in front of it, and they wanted to get them in front of a crowd. This one sold out. So there'll be 15,000 fans in the assembly hall. And while the fans aren't as close to the court as a place like Indiana, the assembly hall is great for reverberating noise.
Oh,
having a concrete roof, you know, kind of keeps that echo going. So they will make it loud, and it will be an experience for those Wildcats for their first time.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. That's going to be rough. I mean, they're very upbeat, and they've got some toughness about them. You know, their point guard, Kirk Risa, this sophomore from Estonia, he is remarkably tough, and he likes being in hostile, you know, situations, but I don't think he's been in something like this. So it'd be really interesting to see how he reacts. And, you know, but that could be, you know, that could be something that snowballs pretty quickly. I think that's kind of my take on it. If they break down a little bit and Illinois gets, you know, a couple turnovers and goes on a little bit of a run, and that place could go crazy, and that could really work against them. So, yeah, I think that's big. I mean, you know, you always talk about, I think, like you said, the turnovers is really key, and rebounding. But there's a lot to be said if a sold out crowd can really influence things.
Yeah. And the other thing, and again, I'm a big NBA fan. And while I'm not saying that the referees in the NBA are perfect, I think they're a heck of a lot more consistent than what a college referee is. And so you kind of got to roll the dice and see who you got and how they're calling it that day. I hope they allow, you know, a modicum of contact. I don't think you want to, you know, Kofi's 290 pounds or whatever, and it's all solid. I mean, it's like he's like running into a wall.
Right.
But you know, you got a 270 pounder, so you don't want them beating the tar out of one another. But you know, you want them to have a chance to compete in there and you know, see who's better. But I think that's the other part that's kind of the scary part is, you know, like, are we going to have a touch foul game? Are we going to have a, you know, where are we going to land? And I wish college refs were a little more consistent. But
yeah, well, you know, and there's always that thought. There's that theory that you know, fans influence the refs sometimes more than the players. And so, you know, maybe we'll see what the foul count is, but there's been a number of times in Arizona, you know, at their home field when the foul differential is just phenomenal. And you know, the opposing coach is usually out of his mind upset about it, but it's just the way it is. So, you know, we'll see how it goes here, but it's interesting because last year, you know, without fans I think I read something about that the foul differential was lower.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me.
There weren't fans and there was no influence. And it was just like clean, quiet basketball being played everywhere in the country.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
All the same.
Well, and Illinois has those, we have a few fans too, who are just fantastic about trying to use the timeouts to go after the refs. You know, and of course we also, one of the things that Illinois has that's kind of fun, obviously Cameron has the Cameron Crazies, you know, and we have the Orange Crush. Mm-hmm. and they will be right behind, you know, around kind of around the court a little bit, but definitely behind the benches of both sides. And they are nothing if not clever. During the Notre Dame game, you know, they were chanting all sorts of things at Coach Bray. You know, the LSU chant came out because literally just 30 minutes before the game was when they found out Coach Kelly was going down to LSU. So I don't even think Coach Bray knew about it until he ran into Coach Underwood.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but the Orange Crush did. And so they were chanting LSU chants. And there's a couple of players who they couldn't figure out what was going on. It was kind of funny to watch. But they'll definitely keep things exciting too. So give them a good, I think it should be maybe, you know, one of the games of the weekend. I wish Illinois was ranked a little higher, so the game would have a little bit more luster.
I mean, honestly, if that Iowa game was played on Sunday, they would be ranked and it wouldn't even be a question, but they, you know, they played them on Monday. So we got to wait another week for the poll, but certainly in my mind, they're a ranked team. And I think even if they play Arizona down to the wire and don't win, they should be ranked even next week, but we'll see. I mean, I would probably rank them.
Yeah. Well, so we're just excited to be 2-0 in the Big Ten. You know, that was always one of the challenges, you know, over the years with Illinois is, you know, in the years we weren't as good as other years, you kind of knew that early on because you'd get that slow start in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And then you seem to spend the rest of your year trying to dig out of the hole that you dug early in the conference schedule. And the years that they're better, you start off 2-3-4-0, and then the Big Ten isn't quite so pressure packed when you get things. Right. And I'm not certain if you even saw, but earlier tonight, you know, the Illinois handled Rutgers fairly easily. And Coleman Hawkins, the sophomore power forward, had a masterful game on Ron Harper Jr., held him to 9 points, and he was 1 for 9 from the field. And yet tonight he torches Purdue and takes them out of the number one position with a phenomenal last second shot. So, you know how conference games go. I don't think it's probably any difference in the Pac-12, you know, every game's contested, and you can't, you know, as soon as you write a team off means you're going to have one of those frustrating losses.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of breathing room though this year so far. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take every ounce we can get. You know, last year was fun, and we would like to maybe have a good Big Ten season and finish it with a role in the postseason, which is obviously what was missing from last year. Kind of to get towards the end here, what do you expect out of this Arizona team? I mean, start of the year, you probably had one set of expectations. Have they changed any based on what you've seen here early on?
Oh, sure. I mean, heck, I voted them to finish 6th in the Pac-12. So, I mean, I think I got to adjust that. I mean, right now they're probably number 2. I mean, arguably number 1, but UCLA is still playing pretty well too. And they're very veteran, and they're going to be, you know, over the course of a league season, I think they're still the team to beat. But I think Arizona could be 2nd or 3rd, certainly in the Pac-12, you know, get a pretty decent, they might even get a decent tournament seed and, you know, maybe play a couple weekends into it, assuming that they're eligible. That's always still a question hovering over them as well. But you know, I think entering the season, you were looking at a team that was sort of, you know, in that 30, 35 range, maybe, and maybe they'd be a first four type tournament team if they get in or something, but certainly they've pushed the expectations up there considerably, I think, at this point. I mean, and you know, they still have a lot of tough games to play, especially this month. You know, they've only played one true road game, and that was at a Oregon State team that's really been struggling so far. And you know, this month they have to play at Illinois, they play at Tennessee on the 21st and or 22nd, and then they reopen league play at UCLA on the December 30th. So they, you know, it'll be a lot easier to make a prediction around New Year's than it is right now, but I still think you got to adjust it a little bit upward for sure.
Yeah, that's actually both a very, very hard, but yet at least the games are spread out a little bit, that, you know, if you have one bad game, you got enough time to practice your way out of that hole. But that is a tough three road trip there.
It was inherited. So it was mostly Miller, but also, like everything, it was COVID screwed up, because, you know, obviously this game was supposed to be played last year. I don't think I don't know what Illinois' position was, but I know Arizona did not want to play any non-conference games with COVID last year. So they got it postponed. They were supposed to play at Gonzaga last year. They postponed that to this year. And then Tommy Loy got the job, and then they said, wait, we can't play Gonzaga. He just came from there. So then they canceled that, and they scheduled Tennessee, but Tennessee wanted to start on the road. So all of a sudden, and then on top of the conference, because they went to 20, they threw him a road game at Oregon State. So all of a sudden they have three road games between the 5th and the 22nd of December, and that's not ideal, obviously, but they do have some soft spots to work on it between. They've got some kind of decent mid to low major teams at home, but teams that they can probably get a breather with in between each of these games.
Good, good. Any closing thoughts as we kind of wrap up here? I want to thank you for coming on. Anybody who is interested, Bruce Pascal from the Arizona Daily Star, you can find him at Tucson.com. And you just click, it's very handy. There's just a tab there for Wildcats. And you can get right on to see a lot of his work there, and write some excellent articles. That's kind of where I went when I wanted to give myself a little bit of an education on the Wildcats. And he was kind enough to come on the show and kind of take it the next level up. So between now and game time, if you want to go, any of the fans here, if you want to go out there, please go to Tucson.com and get prepared. Because like I said, I think this is going to be one of those great games in college basketball this weekend. And it may be, if Illinois can pull it out, and I'm not saying they will, but if they can pull it out, it might be a signature win for the first part of the season. And you know, they're going to earn it, because this Arizona team is too talented not to make it hard.
Yeah. And either way, it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be a, quadrant one opportunity outside of conference play. And if both teams end up playing well, it's going to hurt. It'll help them, even if they lose. It's going to be, everybody wins in this kind of deal, really, the way I look at it.
Yeah, this is the beauty of this is where, in my opinion, college basketball outshines college football, because you can do more of these early season clashes, and that just builds your resume up for the tournament. And maybe we'll see more of these in college football if the SEC gets their way and, gets a 6
alliance or whatever. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, this could be in this home and home series, which just was between Sean Miller and Brad Underwood. I believe this is the kind of thing that alliance could be folding in or something in the future. And maybe they go, have another kind of series like this in a few more years. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I know Arizona, we talked, obviously about the game in 2005, and that's the type of game that starts a rivalry that'll last forever. Yeah. And so if I'm assuming with Coach Lloyd that this is going to, the Arizona program is going to, maintain its high level of excellence. And boy, it'd be fun to have this game every year, and even give Illinois fans a reason to go to the desert in December. every other year, which would be fantastic. You know, anything to get out of the cold.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice. I think the problem we're seeing with college basketball is these, everybody's going to 20 games in conference, and then you've got these MTEs, multi-team events, and then you've got these challenges or whatever, and there's just not that many dates left. And so a lot of these coaches want to, they whatever they have left, they want to keep them, and they want to play home games against, you know, so-and-so, you know, Western State or whatever, you know, some team that they know they can work on some stuff and get a breather. So they're, you know, it's hard. I know Arizona has a lot of pressure on them too, because their fans really want to get good teams like Illinois in here. And, you know, very few teams want to come in here, and Illinois did come a couple of years ago. And that was a big game. It was very early in the season, but you know, that was their best home non-conference game of the year. They haven't had one that good since then, frankly, you know, and it would be nice to see more. And I think Tommy Lloyd's talking like he wants to keep pretty aggressive on the scheduling, you know, and bring some of those things in when he can. So, you know, that I think that's the hope of a lot of fans too. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming from Gonzaga. They've been pretty good about playing a tough non-conference schedule. Of course, then they have to go into their
conference. They kind of have to. In fact, Tommy Lloyd did say something like, well, I might have to adjust my thought of what is a good record in conference, because, you know, they're basically expected to win all their conference games. And maybe they lose a road game to St. Mary's or BYU or something. And then at least, you know, do two-thirds of their really tough non-conference. And they do tend, I mean, they don't have to, but certainly to keep their rating up. And if they want to get a number one seed, they do need to play a lot, and they have. So, and I think Tommy, like, you know, I think he's in tune with that mentality and wants to keep playing him, but I think he also, you know, might not want to be just a hair less aggressive than Gonzaga, because the conference is going to be so much more taxing in the Pac-12.
Yeah. And I keep thinking with the NIL rules, I think a team like USC is going to have a resurgence, just because you've got so many businesses that could theoretically want to provide marketing and promotional, you know, dollars.
Yeah, we're to players. Right. Yeah, we're seeing how. I'm really curious about that. That was one of my theories, is maybe the Hollywood, those teams near Hollywood, are going to benefit, or maybe teams in really passionate college towns. Or areas like Arizona and Champaign and Illinois, and you know, maybe because you have some businesses that are really, you know, really super passionate, and they might direct some of their, you know, some of their budget into having signing events or whatever, and that could help. And if those things get established, then the recruits can see that, and they're like, hey, if I go to Illinois, I'm going to be doing this, and you know, that could help too. So, but you're right. It could very well be the LA schools, and, you know, some of the bigger cities, but yeah, it's an evolving thing with NIL. We don't know which way it's going
to
go.
But the only thing we know about NIL for sure is Kentucky will figure out a way to make it work for them. I don't worry about John Calipari figuring out a way.
Well, they had, I think, you know, there was a player, Ty Washington, their freshman guard, who Arizona, Tommy Lloyd offered and was interested in him. He's from Phoenix, and he like gets to drive a Porsche SUV or something like that. I don't know if he owns it or if they leased it for him, but that's like his deal. He like, you know, and I think you may have heard, like, even UNLV, kind of a mid-major program now, their whole team gets a $500 car allowance from local dealership that decided they wanted to promote their local dealership with Rebel players for whatever reason. And
I got to be honest with you, that one to me makes a lot of sense, you know, especially a car dealership. You know, that's an easy one. I've been shocked that there's not one car dealer in all these university towns. I mean, I would almost think that's like, I thought that was a
given. Well, there could be more of it. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering. I mean, the ones here haven't yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. There's a couple in town who have booster type guys that are involved with those dealerships. And I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the players start driving around those cars one of these days. Yeah. You know, the weird thing with Arizona is they've got that international rule right now, where international players are not eligible for NIL because they could lose their student visas. And right now, Arizona's best players are pretty much all international. So they have not benefited from it. And,
you know, it'd be interesting to see if that gets changed. And from what I understand, that's not an NCAA issue. That's an ICE issue that they right. have, you know, and that's not, I don't think that's high on their priority list. So
it's I don't see the ICE people going to back down to those type of pressures. And certainly that would make for quite an entertaining game to have the ICE windbreakers come in, come in and start breaking things up. Well, I do appreciate you coming on to the Illini Guys, you know, podcast here on Eye on the Illini. Maybe with a little bit of luck, we could make this an annual thing. And even better yet, maybe the two teams will be really well, do really well and do it twice a year by playing each other in the tournament. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. These teams meet again in the, say, the Elite Eight or something like that. Absolutely, it could happen.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, Bruce. Yeah.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Please remember that we have still got our Black Friday sale that's going on. You really want to hustle up and grab a sweatshirt with your annual subscription. Free Illini Guys sweatshirt. You can wear it with pride. That is closing out pretty quickly here. So make sure that you get the opportunity to do that. It's on the front page of Illini Guys on the left-hand side. And like I said, don't let that pass by. It's kind of the first Illini Guys sweatshirt of all time. So will be a collector's item even potentially. Also listen to the Illini Guys, our full family of podcasts. We have Eye on the Illini with me, Mike Kegley. That's what you've been listening to here. We have Sturdy for 30. Brad has some spectacular guests coming. I don't want to ruin anything, but there might be an assistant coach coming up pretty soon. He also has Hank Beatty and some other things with some great guests that'll be coming up in the next few weeks as well. So don't miss that. KED's Recruiting Roundup. We have a lot of information from David Williams of Peoria, who will be talking about DeMonte Williams and some of the things going on there. And finally, of course, if you go to Eye on the Illini and you go to IlliniGuys.com and you go in and join as a subscriber, you go back into the forum and the message boards, you can get all the rumors, all the inside information, everything you want. That's why we'll tell you whether you live in Illinois in terms of Champaign or Chicago, whether you live halfway across the country, halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know with everything Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Thank you, and we will hear you after the Arizona game.